good morning. Lovely days. And no slippery section so far on the Hoffman's Bluff. I'm waiting for it. Help me. I hear all these horror stories. What's that? Yeah. All these horror stories about jackknife trucks and Okay, we are continuing on the subject of dispensations, and we closed out the dispensation of grace last week with the judgment being the great relation, and how that in the age of grace there was a cutoff line where those that have heard the gospel clearly had rejected it all the way to the revealing of the Antichrist, as we read in 2 Thessalonians, that at the end tribulation period under the Antichrist, God sent them delusion that they believe. We can understand that. A lot of people think that God's not like that. We just need to read the Bible. They have their own preconceptions of who God is. And they keep mixing him up with Santa Claus somehow. I don't know how they do it, but they do. To us in their mind. That he's full of love, full of mercy, but don't cross him. You know? It is literally like crossing a bear with cubs. And the Bible talks about him being a bear, that he will tear their asses. So it's very serious. So there's a cutoff line, but now the punishment is the great tribulation. And in that tribulation, those that rejected the grace of God suffered God's wrath. Of course, it came, and we'll get into that once we begin Revelation, we get into the judgment, because it's Revelation is largely about judging the world for rejecting the grace of God. There is the second component, which is the king of Israel. And so one is the punishment, and one is the in that punishment you've got the seven seals and trumpets, the seven bowls and the seven thunders, and that's all judgment. But then all that ends right in the battle of Armageddon, and that's the final judgment. And he destroys and so Gentiles that are still in bodies enter this millennium. We've looked up the verses there in Revelation 20 that reference that term 1,000 years, and that's the rule and reign of Christ for 1,000 years, and that's what millennium means. Word, but it means we don't find it in the Bible per se, millennium, but we find what it means. We find that expression 1,000 years, and that is a millennium. You know, Hitler thought that he was going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. He thought that's what he thought his Reich was going to be, 1,000 years. It lasted 11. But, you know, but with Christ, it will be a literal 1,000 year. Now, there are well-meaning believers, and there have been throughout the church age that have not understood this doctrine of the millennium and have kind of symbolized it and mystified it, and they've not understood that it is to be taken literally. And that's what we have to do with the Bible. As much as is possible, we are to take it literally. And that's in most cases. So we have come to the millennium, and in the millennium, we have the emphasis, as with all the other dispensations, the emphasis is 1,000 years of near paradise is what we have. That is the emphasis of that dispensation. It's near paradise. I say near because there still will be sin in it, and paradise doesn't have sin in it. So that is the emphasis. How will man react to God in near perfect conditions? The test is, will man love, obey, and serve God under these idyllic conditions? Will he do it? So first of all, let's look at the conditions. I call them idyllic, and they are of the millennium on earth. Remember, it's on earth, and there will be Jews and Gentiles in their bodies that will repopulate the earth. And I have a feeling it's going to be all large families. You know, there'll be a lot of Mennonites there. It's going to be all large families. And they'll populate, because really, so much of the world's population has been wiped out. Just wiped out. And there's a remnant of Gentiles, of the nations, and a remnant of Jews that will enter in their natural bodies. The church won't be in a natural body anymore. It will be in a glorified body. And procreation will not have anything to do with us. It will have all to do with those that survive the great tribulation, that are children of God. So they'll go into the millennium, and they'll have children. And their children have children and repopulate the whole earth. So, first of all, under these idyllic conditions, there will be exposure to God's word. And I hope that some of these references will I hope that some of these references will help you, if you understand that they are millennial references as we go to the Old Testament. Sometimes it's confusing when people read the Old Testament, and they're reading a section, they don't know if it pertains to the time of the prophet, or whether it pertains to the second coming. Whether it pertains to Christ's birth and his first coming, or whether it pertains to the second coming. So I hope we can see the connection with millennium in the references that I give. So first of all, in if we can turn to Isaiah 11 and 9, there are many millennial references in the major prophets. In fact, in all the prophets, in the minor as well. So Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 9 for our first reference, where the scripture says, "And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." Now, that is in the context of the millennium. The knowledge of the Lord has not covered the earth. Yes, we have missionaries, we have them going out, and we, you know, had them since the church age. There have been missionaries. Some people think it's only been for the last 2 years, you know, the last 200 years that we've, you know, really had a missionary movement. No, there have always been missionaries, always. But just from recorded Western history, you know, the emphasis has been in, you know, the last 200 or 300 years. But there have always been missionaries. But even with those missionaries, the earth has not been covered. And that's what it's referring to. It means a literal saturation of the whole earth and for the entire period of the millennium. Not just flare-ups here and there. We had the Dark Ages when Rome ruled for 1,000 years. And though there was still missionary activity going on, underground, undercover, it could never be said that the earth was saturated with the knowledge of the Lord. So we have to realize that this is pertaining to an idyllic time that's never happened before. So the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And a key reference to many of these millennial references is the phrase, "and in that day." In that day. And there it is right there in verse 10 of chapter 11 of Isaiah. "In day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. This is talking about the glorious kingdom. There's been nothing glorious radiating around Christ's first coming. He was rejected. He was not allowed to set up a kingdom. But this is referring to his millennial kingdom. This is the context. Okay, so first of all, under idyllic conditions, the earth will be exposed to the word. Now, we've been blessed here in the West, and we've had the scriptures, and we still have the scriptures, and our law is based on the Mosaic law. And there was a time when, and maybe can still be found in some courthouses, I don't know if the atheists and the God-haters have pulled it out of every last building. I don't know, probably they have. But there used to be a time when there were scriptures on walls. And certainly in the States, they have had in their courtrooms, you know, the Ten Commandments. But of course, it's become offensive to the sinner. And he wants it out because it convicts him of his wicked condition. But we've been blessed, and I thank God. I've said so many times, I'm so thankful that I was born in a country, and I've received the blessings of it down the line. Even England is so far away from God. And when I was born, it was well. But still, we've been riding on the coattails of our forefathers. And we so much blessing there. And the Bible's still there. But this is talking about the entire world being exposed to it. And it will be mandatory. Not a question of having a Bible on a shelf, you know, collecting dust. It's not a question of someone saying, oh, yeah, I read the Bible in Sunday school that's years ago. I guess, you know, I've done my time and I know it, and they don't know it. A lot of nonsense. But that's not the way it's going to be in the millennium. It's going to be mandatory. You will read it or else. That's the way it's going to be. He will rule with a rod of iron, and he will expect everyone to read it, and it will be up on the walls everywhere. They'll have no choice. Oh, I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to it. The boot will be on the other foot. That's right. We will be in the majority, they will be in the minority. It'll be a different time. So exposure to God's word, that and of course that's very important. It will cover everywhere. Secondly, and we could spend a lot of time on it, but let's move on. Exposure to God himself. Still in this same chapter of Isaiah 11, if we go to verse 7. Wait a minute. No, this isn't verse 7. I'm sorry. Let's stay in this chapter, but I'll go to another heading. And then we go to exposure to God, because it really should be in that order. But tranquility and safety, we're in chapter 11. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. I mean, that should tell you that condition has never existed on planet Earth from the fall till now. The wolf has never dwelt with the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, with the goat. And the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. It's beyond me how people can read this and think it has something to do with something that happened in the past. I'm not talking about Eden. I'm talking about after the fall. Between the fall and now, it's beyond me how people can actually read their Bible and think, oh, this happened in the past, or it's going to happen sometime before Christ comes. No, this refers to idyllic conditions that have never existed since the fall till now. What people could that be? It has to be the literal thousand-year rule and reign of Christ. So in that reign, in that time period, there will be tranquility and safety. Tranquility and safety. Where a wolf shall dwell with a lamb. Can you imagine that? And a leopard with a kid, and a calf with a lion, and then a little child can play with them and lead these animals. You know, some people might say, well, it's just like a circus, really, when you train the animals, and after a while you can lead even wild animals around. But this is a little child. This isn't someone who spent his life learning how to manage wild animals. And even they can't always pull it off. Sometimes they're mauled. They don't know when that animal's going to turn on them. So we can't reason that way. This is a little child. So there will be exposure to God's word. There will be tranquility and safety. Then there will be exposure to God himself. We said exposure to God's word, exposure to God. Go to Isaiah 9 and 7. 9 and 7. This is Isaiah again. Of the increase of his government, this is the millennium, rule and reign of Christ. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. That will actually be another condition, will be justice. With judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform it. So Christ will be upon the throne of David. He's continuing the line of David, as it were. And he'll be on the throne and upon his kingdom to order it. So there'll be exposure to Christ. Imagine that. The king himself. We will see the king. The inhabitants of earth will see the king. Those in their earthly bodies will see the king. They will have exposure to the king. That'll be something, won't it? Wow, it's never happened like that. And so, exposure to God's word, exposure to God. Christ is God, God the Son. And as I've mentioned, there will be justice there. We won't have to worry about people getting these light sentences and reoffending. None of that's going to happen. That's going to be taken care of. You kill, you will be removed. That's it. That rod will come down in a flash. There'll be no appeals. There'll be no tricky lawyers getting them off on technicalities. It says that he'll establish it with judgment and with justice. From henceforth, even forever. He says forever because after the millennium is the eternal state. And now I'll get ahead of myself here, but I better not. I better not bring up. There's another subject connected with this, but I'll leave it for now. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's going to happen. These wonderful conditions. So exposure to the word, exposure to God, tranquility and safety, and then I guess while we're in Isaiah, let's go to 65 and 20 under the point of longevity. This is a difficult verse, I must admit, but there's only one meaning to it. Whether I have the right one or not is, you know, could be questionable. But here in Isaiah 65 and 20, the scripture says, There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. Longevity will be a condition. There shall be no more thence an infant of days. In other words, there'll be no immortality in the kingdom. You know, you hear these sad stories of these poor parents that lose their child, an infant, very young. There'll be none of that in the millennium. God will see to it. He says that. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, and one that doesn't live on, nor an old man that hath not filled his day. Like he's referring to what it is like now. Some, you know, people die in infancy. They don't make it to old age. Just don't get to it. They don't see old age. And people wonder how would have they been? How would they turned out if they had lived on? Well, these in this age, it happens. Mortality strikes infants, and they never make it to old age. But not in the millennium. There'll be no infant deaths, and there will be the propensity to live throughout the millennium and never die. And it goes on. For the child shall die 100 years old. Now, he's not an infant, but he's a child. And he'll die 100 years old. What's all that about? Well, that's because he has crossed the cutoff line with God's grace, with God's offer of salvation. Reach 100, it'll be all over. And so if one dies at 100 years, he will be as a child in age, because there'll be people living throughout the whole 1,000-year reign. He'll be considered a child as far as his lifespan to that point. But if he dies at 100, he'll be considered a sinner, being 100 years old, and he shall be accursed. So if he does die in a millennium, he'll be accursed. So there will be longevity. But as in every dispensation, God's patience only goes so far. In this case, it's 100 years. You remember Noah's generation? It was 120 years. My spirit shall not always strive with man, yet his day shall be 120 years. That was referring to Noah's ministry of preaching to the generation flood. And then after that 120 years, the door closed on the ark. And so did the light close on their souls. So there it will be longevity in the millennium. And those that are converted will live forever. They'll never die. The only ones that will die are the sinners after 100 years. And there will be sinners, because you have to look at it. Here are these Christians. They've come in from the millennium. excuse me, from the tribulation and entered the millennium, and they're all born again. They got saved in the tribulation, and here they are populating the earth, and they're teaching their children the way of salvation. The scriptures are everywhere. They're being instructed both at home and elsewhere. The whole of society is geared around God. He is the center. He is the focus. Not like now. Bring up God and who's he? You know, hold a Bible up to someone. They start shaking. You know, get the shake. Please put it away. Put it away. No, it won't be like that. It'll be everywhere. You know, there'll be light. But even in those idyllic situations, there will be those that are still not going to be saved. Can you imagine it? The stubbornness, the rebellion of man. That even in those conditions, there will be those that will choose to refuse the king. They will take offense at the king. They'll rebel against his reign. Hard to believe, but that will happen. There'll be that rebellion. There'll be a segment that are in rebellion. But again, they're in the minority, and they're the ones that are going to be going underground, not us. We'll be, the saints will be ruling and reigning in that period. And we won't be hiding in some obscure place. But there will be those on earth that will hate the king. They'll hate him. And, you know, they'll be probably evolutionists. They'll probably be, you know, atheists. They'll deny his deity. Say, who is he anyway? What's he doing up there? Let's elect our own government. You know. But God likes a fight, so he's going to let them live for a while. You know, give them 100 years. So, exposure to God's word, universal exposure. Exposure to God, tranquility and safety. Then longevity, as I've mentioned, longevity. And then prosperity. Amos 9, please, if you'd go there. Amos 9 and 13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. The days are coming. So he's looking ahead to a luxurious earth where the crops are like they've never been seen, you know, since the fall. And besides, a person could question, you know, whether there were, you know, crops as we know them now in Eden, because there's no mention of that kind. But I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I wasn't there. I'm not going to speculate too much. I know he was a vine dresser, a husbandman, and so on. But there will be crops like never before, where, as it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. There'll be huge harvests. And there'll be several seedings and harvests. And the plowman shall overtake the reaper. There'll be so much to bring in. And his crop, and hardly is the seed in the ground that is going to be coming up. And the ploughman's waiting for the reapers to get in this huge crop so he can continue on his ploughing. And in the meantime, this crop behind him growing. And the treader of grapes, he'll overtake the sower of seed. There'll be just so much to work down. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, the vineyards. Interesting, I won't go into it, but that word, you know, wine there, it's obviously not fermented because it's fresh. It's just coming out and off the vines in the mountains, but it's called wine. And all the hills shall melt. And I think what that has to do with is in the tribulation, we read about mountains being laid flat, preparing for these different conditions during the millennium. There's going to be a different climate in the millennium, different climate, and the hills shall melt. It's going to be idyllic and perfect for crops. So there'll be plenty. There'll be food for all. Abundance. It'll be there. Okay. So those are just some of the conditions, and I won't spend any more time on that. And no one could complain if they lived in it about anything, but they will. They will. They'll find things to complain about. And I don't know if there'll be an office of complaints. I don't know if they'll live that long, you know, to file their complaint. You know, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it, though. I tell you, I can't wait to get there. You know, I don't know. You know what the Lord would have me do? I'd like to be in charge of certain departments, but probably I can't say, can I? I'd like to deal with some of the things that's going on right now that I foresee is going to happen then. You know. But maybe I'll just be carrying a broom somewhere. But it'd be wonderful to be there, to see it. I get excited. I never used to be. When I was a young Christian, I didn't know much. I thought the idea of a thousand-year rule and reign of Christ on earth, I just want to go to heaven. I'm not interested in earth. I'm done with earth. But I'm interested now. After being a Christian for 46 years and living in this, you know, this stinkhole called earth, that's how it's turned out to be, with its vileness and its sin and its wretchedness and its rebellion against God. I feel it in my spirit. But I'm excited about what it's going to be like. It's going to be run the way this earth was supposed to have been run. The God-man is going to run it for the first time. The way that will be the only dispensation when the earth has been run properly. And it won't be human government. Okay, we better stop there. Lord willing, next week we'll complete it with the test. Well, I mentioned the test, but the failure and the punishment. There's three different categories there in the punishment. And then after that, Lord willing, we'll begin in the new year with the book of Revelation. Let's pray. Father, how we do thank thee for those glorious days and years, the millennium that is up ahead, when Christ will rule on earth, and when we will see what we have never seen before, and we will stand in awe of thy kingdom, greater than any other, and thou art worthy to receive honor and glory and worship and power. We bless thee. And we thank thee and we look forward to it. In Christ's name, amen.